So Dan, can I ask you to speak first, please?
Thank you. Well, given your vote, I'll start off with comrades. I hope we don't manage to turn you around entirely by the end of this hour. I wanted to start off by telling you something I think you might not know. The reason I think you might not know it is that I didn't know it until a few weeks ago. According to a report by the Institute of Fiscal Studies, since 1991, we've been getting more equal. People like me have been going on about how inequalities have been rising, but in a sense, we've got it wrong. The income gap between us has actually been narrowing since 1991. The point of this statement, and what makes it true, if you look at the IFS report, is that the us is 99%. In the 1980s, the gaps between everybody widened, and the rich got richer, the middle moved away from the average, and so on. But since 1991, if you believe the IFS, the 1% have pulled away, and the rest have actually become ever so slightly more equal by the Gini coefficient. I think this is fascinating. It's a 22-year trend, and it affects this argument. Because when we talk about more inequality in Britain today, at least since 91, you're talking about just 1% moving away, and whether that's a good thing or not. I want to take issue with one sentence that was in the description of this event. The sentence is, would a society in which markets and individuals are freer, a society in which inequalities are therefore inevitable, allow wealth creation to flourish? Should we, in fact, be encouraging competition rather than enforcing equality? My impression of how things work is that when you have a greater level of equality, not perfect equality, but just a bit more, markets tend to work more efficiently. People tend to buy things they really want and actually have the money to do it. A high level of inequality, which is what we get when the 1% zoom off and the rest of us don't, is very economically inefficient. If you want to see the extremes of a high level of inequality before I fuse the microphone, I'd lean forward. It's a cunning way to try to beat over your opponents in the battle as you pour water on the microphone at the end of your speech. Look to the USA. The USA certainly has wealth creation. The poorest 10% in the USA have more air conditioning, more fuel use, more widescreen TVs than the poorest 10% anywhere else on the planet. They're not necessarily a particularly happy poorest 10%. They've been getting shorter, they've been dying younger. Wealth creation isn't the be-all and end-all. Rich nations tend to be more equal. If you look at the richest 25 nations on Earth, even the most unequal of them, which is for a large nation, the USA, tends to be more equal than the more equal of the poorest nations. You don't get a well-functioning, efficient society with average or high level of inequality. You get good societies that work economically efficiently when your poorest are not in the gutter and your richest are not plutocrats. If we just very quickly go through why having a more equal, not an equal, just a more equal society matters. If you look at things like education, in the more equal rich societies, they spend more equally among children. Some even spend more on the children who are further behind. This is more efficient, I would argue, than putting most of your spending on the children who are already doing fairly well at school, unless you believe that just 1% really matter, and you have to find that 1% and pick them out. If you look at something such as poverty, obviously more equal societies have less poverty, and so they have much lower bills, such as our massive housing benefit bill, which of course is money paid directly to landlords. If you look at employment, when we were much more equal, when the income inequality in this country was lower, we had full employment. I think it's more efficient economically to have everybody working rather than have several million people not working. But if you pay a few people a huge amount of money, you don't end up with enough money to pay everybody, particularly young people. We simply don't have enough money to employ young people now in Europe because older people are taking more of the money, richer, older people. And last of all, so I don't go over my time, If you take a look at something like health and health inequalities, I think you see some of the greatest inefficiencies occurring. To my mind, these are for fairly obvious reasons. It's quite hard to persuade doctors in an unequal country, when they tend to have come from the richer parts of the country, to migrate and live in poor areas and provide a good health service in poor areas. In a much more equal country, such as the Scandinavian countries, or France, or Germany, or the Netherlands, or Japan, or Korea, or in fact almost all of the OECD countries, because remember, we are one of the most extremely unequal countries. In a more equal country, it's far easier to more efficiently provide services across the country, because you do not have part of society desperately trying not to live where the poorest people live. The last thing I'll say on that, about the real cost of inequality, making money and wealth matters, but it's not the be-all and end-all. In the last 18 months in this country, we've seen about 25,000 more elderly people die than is normal. The biggest rise we've seen for many, many years in the mortality of the elderly, particularly single old people. I suspect that is due to social changes which are going on. The government says it's the flu and the cold weather, and of course they reduced on the flu jabs. But I think we should concentrate most of all on the quality of our society. What kind of society we live in? Wealth creation you get in more equal societies, more efficiently than more unequal societies, and you also get better wealth creation. The kind of wealth you really need, wealth that is cleaner, wealth that is less polluting, and wealth that is better shared out, rather than being taken more and more by this tiny 1% at the top. Thank you very much.